specific agor is Chazal. So next time I'll do it. I mean, I'll tell you later. Yes, yes, because I was not consulted about a lot. I was sent out. I was not consulted, really. Usually. Why are you laughing? I wasn't consulted, no. Right. I want to speak about Beis HaKnesses in relationship to Tefillah. I mean, the role of Beis HaKnesses as a place of prayer, I mean, of course. So we'll have to touch upon the basic aspects of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. Yeah. Question number one is actually, I mean, is there, would say, a requirement by the halacha that prayer tefillah should take place in Beis HaKnesses, or the halacha is interested in tzibur, in community prayer, congregational prayer, but tzibur. I mean, in contrast to prayer b'yochit, individual prayer. But usually a tzibur assembles, of course, in the Beis HaKnesses, in the synagogue. But there is no specific, I mean, I would say, emphasis placed upon Beis HaKnesses. When the Gemara, so you may say that when the Gemara mentions Beis HaKnesses, it had in mind tzibur, community prayer, congregational prayer, in contradistinction to tefillas hayochid. Or I mean, there are two aspects. Of course, tefillas tzibur, you can spend 1 minute at your own home, and often you take the dishes, and you read the Torah, and you sit in the fire, whatever you do with the Knesset. You can also repeat in a private home with 10 people. However, there is a specific emphasis placed upon tefillah, even though the tefillah is actually Knesset. Certainly, tefillah is the congregation and the praise of the Knesset, we achieve actually a double purpose, a twofold objective. Tefillah be tzibur, and tefillah be Beis HaKnesses. You understand my question? No, I would like to hear your comments. Yeah, in the Gemara, let us take a look at the Sugyas in the Gemara. Sugyas in the Gemara. For instance, let us take a look. The trouble is that I don't know. You have Gemara Brochas, much better than the Yain gives. The Gemara Dav Dalet Amud Beis. Dav Dalet Amud Beis. Take the fifth line. Shalei Ye Odom Bomin Asore. Men should not come back from the field, as a farmer means, from the place of business or from the shop where he works. Boherev, in the evening, Ve'emer, and it says, Elech Lebeisi, I'll first go to my house, Ve'echel Kimo, I'll take a bite, Ve'eshte Kimo, I'll take a drink, Ve'ishen Kimo, I'll lie down for a while, I'll take a nap, V'chakache Krakrishme, later, after I'll get through with all these activities, I'll reach Shema Ve'espal, I'll pray. What happens? V'chitfos Hashene, falls asleep, and then say Yoshen Kol HaLayla. So a man shouldn't do like that. Shouldn't take that. Have a lot of bombing asodem, a man comes from business, Boerev, in the evening, Nichnas LaBeis HaKnesses, he goes straight to Shul. Im Roger Likre Skere, if he's capable of studying, he studies a little bit. Im Roger Lishan HaMikere means studying Tanakh, Bible, Mikro, yeah. Im Roger Lishanes, if he's acquainted with Mishneh, Shane, I mean, whatever he can do, he should study. Vekere Krishma, and he reads Shema, and then he goes home, Bechel Pitei, and he eats, it's supper, Mevorech, and says Birkas Hamazon. Fine, very nice. But the Gemara says, V'nichnas LaBeis HaKnesses. Yeah, the question, there can be a double interpretation. V'nichnas LaBeis HaKnesses means, Lispal B'tzibur. But if there is no minyan in shul, so there is no need to go to Beit HaKnesset. You can go home and daven. I mean, follow the same sequence at home. Or the Gemara means Beit HaKnesset regardless, whether there is tzibur or there is not tzibur. You have it, for instance, the same daf you have. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the last two lines. The second line from the bottom. Even though a man read Kriya Shema in Shul, it'd be in the synagogue. Or again, the same problem. What does Rabbi Shmuel Levi mean? Tzibur, or there is an additional value which is attached to the Beit HaKnesset. Now let's continue. I want to show you the problem. Daf Vov Amid Aleph. Daf Vov Amid Aleph. Tanya, learned. Abi Shole, Abi Binyamin Eimer, Abi Binyamin said, "Ein Tfilo Shalodom or Tfilo Se Shalodom Nishmas Elovis Akleses." The tefillah, the prayer of an individual, is acceptable only by Beis HaKnesset. Again, the same problem emerges. What is Beis HaKnesset here? It means actually the locus, the place, the synagogue, or Bitzibor. Or Beis HaKnesset is just a substitute phrase for Tzibor. But usually, where do you find the congregation? In shul, you don't find the congregation in a private home. Sheneemar, Saposik Melochim. Lishmeya, you should hearken Elorino velatfilo. Should hearken to the Rino. What is Rino? Is actually Rino, very strange, the Gemara interprets Rino. Usually means not only singing, song. Rino means crying as well. Whatever you say aloud is Rino. Kumereini balailo. You have a pasuk which will attest to the meaning of the translation of Rino as son. Rino Vishua Bol et Sadikim. Correct, the sound and salvation heard in the tents of the just ones, yes. But you have a pasuk which actually a different connotation. Kumereini balailo l'reish hashmeres. Shifri kamayim liberich necha pnei alishem. And the pasuk is in Eichov again. The pasuk is not speaking, certainly not of singing, but of crying and praying, of supplication, of pouring out his heart before God. Shmei al Rino ve'al Atfilah. I understand, but here is Lishmei al Rino ve'al Atfilah. Is Rashi interprets Rino? Rino means Beis HaKnesset. Bimkeim Rino Shom Tei Tfilah. Wherever you engage in Rino, you should also engage in prayer. What is Rino? On the contrary, those in emphasize when it's intercession and passionate intercession. When a man is in the air and intercedes with God, I mean, for quick help, for fast salvation, then you say Rino. Rino is more than crying. Kumi reini balailo l'reish hashmeris shifrlibich, pour out like water. I mean, this is Rino. Vaitfilo is a disciplined prayer. This is, so Rino is completely undisciplined, completely unlimited. Man submerges in prayer completely. He's wholly involved in prayer. This is Rino. That's what we understand Rino. The Pesuk of Shir HaShirim. And as a matter of fact, Keil Rino v'ov Yeshua bo letzadikim is no proof. Keil Rino, first, his voice of prayer is heard. You don't have to say it, Keil Rino v'ov Yeshua, combine them at a simultaneous performance. Of course, if you combine both terms and you look at them as a as the noting and having the connotation of a simultaneous contemporaneous performance, then you have to say Kelrino, the voice, the sounds of song, of joyful song, because of salvation, because of Yeshua. Well, it's a dikim, you understand? But you can say on the contrary, say Kelrino. First, you hear the sounds of prayer, of supplication, of petition, and then, God hearkens to that petition. It is a sequence, V'Yeshua, and Yeshua, succeeds, and actually follows the prayer. So it's not complete. There is no doubt that in Echo, Kumereini Balailas, meaning come and wake up and sing at night. The pasuk itself says, "Shifchi kamayim libech," pour out your heart like water. But Rashi here interprets Rino. It's interesting. Rino in Hebrew is a very vague expression. I would say there are twofold. The semantics are double semantics. Beisa Knesses shom imrim atzibu shireis veisish boches. Biniim askel oreif. What does Rino mean? It's very interesting. Lishmeya elorino velatfilo is the Targum. The Targum interprets Rino and Tfilo, not the Rashi interprets here. The Targum Elohim Aleph Chesed. Yes, thank you. The Targum interprets your Targum says, Le Kabolo Tzleiso Uvo Uso, the Avdach. The expression, the phrase in Kaddish, this Kabel Tzleiso Uvo Uso, is actually reflects the Rino and Tfilo. It's a derivative for Rino and Tfilo, because the Aramaic text of Rino and Tfilo is Le Kabel Tzleiso Uvo Uso. Interesting is, what's the difference between Tzleiso Uvo Uso? No. Rino is Tzleiso and Tfilo is Uvo Uso. We say it is Kabel Tzleiso Uvo Uso. We never say Tzleiso, we say Uvo Uso. What does it mean, this double expression? Aramaic, what does it mean? No. What did you say? Tfilo Bakosha, Tfilo is also Bakosha. The way they are talking is, because if you ask me, Rino and Atfilo, what's wrong? Pressing is Rino more. Tzleiso means Rino, Bakosha. And Tfilo, apparently, Vauso, basically Vauso in Hebrew, is not to or teach. Vauso is in Hebrew. In Bayon Bible. Tibayim Bo, Pesuk, Shema Mamelel, how long is the night? In Tibayim, if you want to inquire again, please inquire. A little later you'll inquire whether daybreak is take place soon. Still, a long way from, a long while from daybreak. He boy alone. My boy is three, what do you mean? Yeah. It's, oh, but the source, the root is inquiry, you see. It's apparently, Tzleiso, Bousa means like that. Tzleiso is simply Tfilo, petition God, to intercede with him. Bousa means not only Tfilo, actually is a second interpretation of Bousa. But in Tibayon Bo, it means if you want to inquire, please inquire later. it is more in English. It's very interesting. Sometimes you see in tefillah, we ask for two things in tefillah. We ask for two, first of all, for fulfillment of our needs, that our needs be gratified. And then we ask also for enlightenment in tefillah, to know how to serve God, and how to live, and how to abide by His will, and how to act wisely in many perplexing situations. If you'll take Havarabo is a prayer for what? For enlightenment. It's a prayer for enlightenment. Atachinu Adam Das is a prayer for enlightenment, and so forth on. It is kind of prayer. The prayer for in order that our needs be satisfied, be gratified, is called Sluso. Vauso is the prayer for, it's more an inquiry, I mean, we inquire of the Rabbeinu Shlom how to guide ourselves, make decisions, and how to solve problems, and so forth. So this is Rino and Philo. Interesting is what the Kaddish reflects, the translation of Unkele by Unkele, of Rino and Philo. Of Inslesin and Vusin. I mean, where does the Kaddish pick it up? This is what? So it means Rino means instead, on the contrary, it's petition. It's petition. Slesin. Rashi interprets Rino the way we use Rino now in modern Hebrew. We use Rino in modern Hebrew not for prayer or for petition. We use Rino in modern Hebrew for song, for singing. Yeah. Sirish Vishis Boches Binam Vinimas Kilore means melodiously. Yeah, with melody, yes. Yeah, the chazm, he's singing of the chazm, correct. Yeah. But Rashi says Binimas Kilore. First of all, the voice should be sweet. It should be melodious and sweet. All right, fine. No, this is Rashi. So Rashi was guided by Kilo to be sure of all that. Obviously, Nila will say, "Rino say to hek shura bekisrocho." Nila doesn't mean the Rino our song. It means the Rino our prayer, our supplication. We are not singing it. Nila, Nila, not time for singing for song. Vayoreinu kolom, they praise God. It means in singing. Right. So yeah, I told you, it's usually it's almost a homonym. It's almost a homonym. Huh? No, it's the same word. It's all in Kalman Kovet. What I want to say, Rashi interprets, I want just to point out to you, it has absolutely no relevance to our problem. But the Rino is not, it's not necessary to interpret Rino in the sense of singing. We can interpret Rino just in the reverse, in the sense of crying, you know that. Crying, Lishmiel, Rino, hearken to my cry. It's quite possible. It's a pretty fair translation. But so how does the Gemara prove that in tefillosi sholodom nishma selo bisaknes? How does the Gemara prove it? What I want here to emphasize, how does the Gemara prove it? Bimkeim Rino? You say, what of it? I mean, first of all, how do you know that Rino is only bisaknes?
Because the Shlemes
said that it was through the Samitra. Yes, but Rashi says, bisaknes. Sheshom Imrim Atzibur Shireis Vesishbachis. Where the Tzibur, I mean, recites melodiously and sweetly, I mean, hymns to God. Fine, Shom Teit Filo. So Arvach Arvetzor, the premise is questionable. How does the Gemara know that Rino is attached or related exclusively to Beis HaKnesses? Arvach Arvetzor, you understand? How did the Gemara know? Bim Keim Rino? Wait, where you hear Rino, there you should also recite your prayers. Fine. Good, but how did the Gemara know that Rino is, I mean, is related to Beis HaKnesses? Yes?
According to Rashi, it's
fine. And why is Rino restricted to Tzibur? Why is Rino restricted to Tzibur? Rashi, you see that Rashi is not interested in Pesach classes. Rashi is interested in Tzibur. If Rashi had been interested in Pesach classes, because I would say, Shishom Imrim, Shiris, and Shishmoch, is Binim Askel Oref. Rashi, inserted the word Tzibur. So Rashi already, you see that Rashi is here in the equation of Pesach classes and Tzibur. But I would like to understand, so what does actually Tzibur mean? Why Shiris et Ishboch is restricted to Tzibur? Yes, no. It does not refer to Hallel. It refers to Pesuk et Zimre. Basically, I mean, here apparently, Lishmeel, Rinev, Latfilo, our custom, our ritual. That before, basically in the Gemara, when the Gemara spoke about Tfile, so what does the Gemara understand by Tfile? Shem Nesre. All right, we extend the Tfile a little more. Not Shem Nesre, we take in Krishma and the Brochas as well. But we don't start with Yetzirah v'Reshech, we start Tfile with what? With Bor Shama. All right, let us say, with Bor Shama. What is the whole idea that we have to say Psuke de Zimre prior to Krishma and the Brochas? The three brachas. What is the idea actually? That before we say Yetzirah, we recite Pesuk et Zimre, Heidu, Ashrei, the Halukos. All right, Pesuk et Zimre, of course, I mean, at the beginning Chazal knew only of Ashrei Ishvi, we said, Til David Ramimcho, to kill Hashomot Haluko, later it was extended. Heidu was taken in by Vodovit, Shiras Hayom, I mean, of course, it's a product of historical development. I mean, the Pesuk et Zimre. However, the Aloch is basic, that Pesuk et Zimre should precede Tfilah. Yeah. In the Gemara, it's mentioned only once. Where is it mentioned in the Gemara once? Yeah. The Gemara says, Yichelke Migemri Halal B'chol Yeh. Let I have a share in the reward which will be bestowed upon those who say Hallel every day. The more Hallel every day, it's like blasphemy. One is not supposed to recite a Hallel every day. On the contrary, Hallel should be recited only at certain fixed times. The more answer, Hallel be Pesuket Zimre. We don't mean Hallel Mitzri. What mean the Pesuket Zimre? Hallel from Tila Ledovit down to. Down to the end of the book of Psalms. Yeah, that's all place. So why is the Gemara so sure about it, that it's so important to say Pesuk et Zimre before Krishma, before Tfile, Yilishmeya Elorino Vela Tfile. Where is the source? The source must be found in Tanakh. Lishmeya, if you interpret Rino, literally the way we are inclined to interpret, I mean, in according to the semantics of modern Hebrew, of course, Rino will never say Rino as a term for prayer. I mean, we have many, many terms for prayer. Tfilot, Rino, Bakosha, whatnot, but not Rino. Rino means singing. Singing means singing hymns, a cycle of hymns. Lishmeya, El Rino, Vela Tfilot. Why is it important? I can't ask, I mean, it's not a question, but I would like to understand the person. Why is it necessary? Why is it necessary to recite hymns before you begin to read Shema and the Broches preceding and following Shema? And before you recite Shem Nesre, why is it necessary? All right, the Pasuk is the source. But I would like to understand it logically, I mean. Why is it necessary? Yes? I understand.
Guard against arrogance.
Arrogance of what? Yes? Yes? Is greatness. His greatness, his ubiquity, his omniscience, his omnipotence, known by recognizing what? Just a moment, he's talking to the point. The boy. Ah? All right, I understand it means stealing. Yeah, what do you gain by it? What do you gain by it? There are two answers. One answer is his. There are two answers to that problem. One answer is, I mean, you continue, no? Fine, so what do you gain? No, you don't gain. The way he interprets is not the right to play. You, by reciting the greatness and the exaltedness and the remoteness and the glory of God, you simply, what do you accomplish? What do you attain? The tefillah, on my part, is something absurd, something arrogant, something which should not be tolerated. You understand? I mean, by reciting the greatness, omniscience, and the remoteness of God, that God is hiding in infinity, transcendent to the entire world. I mean, so what right do I have to break into Him? Of course, it is based upon the concept that tefillah means confrontation with God, and this is basic in Yahadut. This is fundamental. It's not just a petition. The petition is secondary importance. The supplication is a peripheral, irrelevance. The central understanding of tefillah means confrontation with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to stand before Him. And this is, and it's not just a mystical concept that I'm telling you, or some theological interpretation. This is halachic. What is the kavonas at tefillah? What is the kavonas at tefillah? Tefillah requires kavonah, you know very well. What kind of a kavonah? Not kavonas mitzvahs. Kavonas mitzvahs means I intend to discharge my duty. This is not the kavonah which tefillah required. Tefillah is a specific kavonah, a specific awareness. When I lay tefillah, all my awareness should consist of one thing. I do it in order to fulfill my duty, to discharge my duty. That's all. You say it in a nimuchim zumen always, you say. Fine. But tefillah is not this problem. Okay? The awareness of tefillah is not just a secondary aspect. It exhausts actually the very essence of tefillah, the awareness. Not so much my physical performance, this recital, but awareness forms the very gist, the very substance of tefillah. What kind of awareness they require? Darf man? What the Rambam says. The Rambam says, open the Rambam, you'll have tefillah. Tefillah, just a minute. Did you give me a tefillah? I brought a tefillah. Oh, yes, correct. Yeah. Excuse me. I brought. Chamisha dvorim perek revi aloch alef. Perek revi aloch alef. Shadvorim me'akvim es ha'tfilo v'kavon es aleif halochot es zayin keitzed hi ha'kavone she'ifane es libe mekol ha'machshoves. He should dismiss all other thoughts v'yire atzmei. He should consider himself, or rather be aware, kilu heimed lifnei ha'shechina, as if he were standing before the Almighty. Before the Almighty. Confrontation with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Yes. And before you say, no, what's your name anyway? What's your name? Goldberg. All right. So continue, no? Now continue. From now on, continue. Really, it's not... heightens the tension, or the dramatic element there, but renders tefillah absurd, completely nonsensical, as an act of, as an expression of human arrogance. I mean, if I'll break in, to Nixon, throw him out, on my ears, you understand? Never mind, it's in trouble, but I have no right. He's still a president of the United States, you see. Throw him out on my ears, Why shouldn't he be thrown out by the Malachim and his ears, whoever tries to break in into the realm of infinity of God Almighty? Yes, so what? So what is the answer? What is the answer? I want you to tell me the answer. So I emphasize and stress the contradiction between what I am going to do and plain logic and plain, decency. You mean this, that I should not be arrogant, I should not come to the Rebbe Shlom and tell him a story of woe and pain and my petty needs. Usually our need is petty needs, I want riches, I want prominence, I want covet. It's ridiculous, it's ludicrous. So, it is arrogant. By so doing, I emphasize my impudence, my arrogance, my complete absurdity, the absurdity of the deed, and nevertheless, I do it. Why? Because it's a special chesed, a special act of grace, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon man, and granted him the privilege to pray, even though from a logical, from a standpoint of decency or etiquette, prayer is to be equated with human arrogance. In spite of that, v'ani bereif chazdecho, and I, because of your grace, you know what grace is. When is grace required? There is mercy, there is rachmin, there is chesed. Chesed is the highest form. You know that very well. When does God bestow mercy upon a person? When does he bestow grace upon a person? We don't say, grace means completely undeserved. Even if there is no mitigating factor, there is no justification. I sinned, and there are no extenuating circumstances. There is no defense. I'm guilty, Whatever I did was with malice, vicious, and completely there was no explanation. His grace, chesed, can wash off, can remove. Rachmi, mercy, is only the mitigating factors. You understand? Tefillah is not rachmi. Rachmi would not good enough. Could you imagine that every citizen of the United States would come to the White House and give petitions to the President of the United States? It's good for, you see, for one, for someone, for the head of a village, you see, to sit in the market square, and people should come and complain to him. But the President of a great empire can't do that. It's contrary to the basic principles of human decency and etiquette. So tefillah is absurd. But it is a special act of grace on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he allowed men to break into his gates. Simply to open the door and walk in without an appointment. And chesed alone is not enough, it's infinite chesed. Bereif chazdecho. Because of your abundant chasadim. Ovei visecho. Where's ovei visecho? Because it's any prayer is confrontation between God and man. Not even, I wouldn't have even the right to prostrate myself. After all, when we come in this medrash, we say it, don't we say it? The very instant we enter into the shul, we say, this reflects the whole idea of prayer. And I told you, do you believe me in that? Chazal have never understood how prayer is possible. It was to them the greatest paradox. How is it possible? As the Rambam speaks, Ben Odom, a person who Sheikhni Botechimer lives in a house of clay, Shayim Deo Miuto of his limited reason, stupid, insensitive. Shayim Khan, Mochor Bekever, today is here, tomorrow is in the grave, knocks on the door of eternity or infinity and wants to gain access to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and deliver him a petition which, from the viewpoint of eternity, suspecti eternitatis, makes no sense. We want a little more money, we want a little more COVID, whatever. I mean, you know, our requests are foolish, and most of them absurd. Most of them absurd. Most of them absurd. That's what Chazal couldn't understand. So how did Chazal justify prayer? How did Chazal justify prayer? How did Chazal justify? You cannot imagine Yehadus without prayer. I once heard from my father, in the name of my grandfather, in order Machlekes or Rishenim, between the Rambam and all other Rishenim, whether or not prayer is a mitzvah midraise or only midrabbanan. So Rav Chaim said, the Rambam is certainly right. So my father said, why? So there are many Gemaras against the Rambam, actually. The Rambam quotes quite a number of sugya's passages which contradict the Rambam. He said, how could you imagine Am Yisrael without prayer? You had to wait for a takonei d'rabbanan in order to pray to the Ribbono Shel Olam. No, it's nothing to laugh at. This is true. So how did Chazal justify prayer? Just by precedent. We don't know what prayer is. We don't know what right we have to pray. How can we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinity itself, who determines the fate and destiny not only of the universe, which is visible and known to us, of the universe whose laws we know, at the Chacham HaKabbalah spoke, there are elomis gluim and historim, I mean, elomis which are revealed reality, and there is a mysterious reality. How can I tell you that, like the mosquito would come pray to you, ask me for something. Of course, it's no comparison. How can I come, and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want this, I want that, you must give me this, you must give me this, I want intelligence, we are not so much concerned with it, because we have enough of it. but sickness, of course, of course, and so forth. Logically, it cannot be justified, it cannot be warranted. We don't understand the logical explanation, the philosophy of prayer. We just know that prayer is as old as the Jewish people. Abraham already prayed. Yitzchak prayed. Jacob prayed. Moshe prayed. David. There wasn't a single generation since the inception of the covenantal community with Abraham that has omitted prayer. And this is basically, that's already, and this is another reason why Ashrei, Chazal, among all Sfidi Zimro, Chazal have emphasized Ashrei more than anything else. Kol Eimer Tilo LeDovid B'chol Yeim, whoever says Tilo LeDovid every day, in Muftach Leishu Ben El Mabo. Here it is, take the Gemara Dalet on the base, the text. This is Miras Anoi. Let us enlighten the present. Omar Abelozor, Dav Dalet on the base. How can I tell you it is where? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 lines from the bottom. Kolayim Atilo Ledovid, it's Ashrei. Kolayim Atilo Ledovid, Bechol Yeim, Sholish Pamim, there are different versions. Some versions, have this Sholish Pamim 3 times a day. We do say Ashrei 3 times a day. We say twice in the morning and once before Minche. All right, yes. But some versions don't have it. Kolayim Atilo Ledovid Bechol Yeim, Not Sholish Pamim. Muftach Leishu Ben Eilam Abo. He's a shoot of a share in the world to come. Why is Ashrei, was Ashrei singled out? The Gemara asked questions. Why was Ashrei singled out? Why is Ashrei actually the introduction to Shem Nesrei, usually? Of course, in the morning we cannot say Ashrei before Shem Nesrei, because we have Krishma and Broches, Smichas Gula Litzvile. But for before Musa, what do you say? If you have Musa, Ashrei. Before Nile, what do you say in Kippur? Ashrei. What do you say? Before Minche, what do you say? Ashrei. Why Ashrei? Because Ashrei basically is the document which the license for prayer are contained, which has permitted prayer. Prayer, praise, I mean, singing of hymns. And what basis did ashrei permit? On what basis did ashrei permit? Because of precedent. I need a siddur for that. You know ashrei by heart. I don't know ashrei by heart. I don't know ashrei. I know many things by heart, but not ashrei. I know ashrei. All right. He says like that, Tilo le David, Arimimcho le Kayamarach, I'll exalt thee, my God, the King, Avocho Shimcho le Lord, and I'll praise thy name every forever. V'choyim Avocheko, every day shall I praise thy name. V'al le Shimcho, and I'll enhance your name, le Lord. And then he asks a question, how is it possible? Godei Ladishem, God is great, infinite. God means infinite. He's exalted above all prayers. And his greatness, there is no limit. It's boundless. So what right do I have with my limited vocabulary to engage or to undertake to praise him? Isn't it arrogant? Isn't it impudent? So he says, answer, there le there, generations before me did it. Yishabach Masecho, have praised thy name, Ugvurisecho Yagidu, and your might and omnipotence have passed on. Daughter, Hadak, therefore, before his rabbin, there le there, Yishabach Masecho, Ugvurisecho Yagidu, therefore, Hadak veideidecho, V'divrei niflei secho asicho. Therefore, I feel that I am also deserving of telling the glory of the glory and the beauty, and to talk or to explain your miracles. This is ashrei. This is precedent. There is no answer why, what right do I have? What right do I have to dare to do so? Well, this is precedent. Precedent is all right. That's what Chazal says, Phyllis always tiknun, Avon tiknun. The Phyllis were introduced by the patriarchs, Avon Yitzvayank. Why were Chazal so concerned with this problem? Who cares? Because if they hadn't introduced, we wouldn't be able to pray. The precedent. That's why Kilrino that's why Rino now we understand why Rino requires Tzibur, Rashi says Tzibur. Because the license is not only the generations before me did, and generations following me will continue to praise God. Because I'm not the only one. I'm within a congregation, you understand? It's not my praise, as I always told you. When there is Tzibur, it's not just dominion. I told you last Saturday night, it's not dominion here. Tzibur is more symbolic, representative. Yeah, community. An all-inclusive community. What kind of a community? The Knesset Yisrael. Is Rino started Tzibur. But Rashi is not based on Knesset. Rashi is Tzibur. The one who came out with the idea that Pesach Knesset is a separate aspect. Of course, the ideal tefillah is Tzibur and Pesach Knesset. But there is, another aspect to daven with Pesach Knesset, even though there is not Tzibur. The place, the locus, the mokim itself warrants prayer. Fits for prayer, or somehow enhances prayer. Even though I'm the only one, there's no one else, I believe it's the Rambam, if I'm not mistaken, just a minute. Yeah, but Tzibur, Rashi says, but Tzibur, Tzibur Shomo, the Gemara says, the Beis HaKnesses, the Gemara says, you have to say Beis HaKnesses. What Rashi should have left out, Shishom Imrim Shiris is his Boches Mirto. Rashi put in the word Tzibur. So Rashi placed emphasis not on Beis HaKnesses, but on Tzibur. For the Rambam, Tfilas HaTzibur is in Rambam Perek Ches Aloche Aleph. In Rambam Perek Ches Aloche Aleph. Please. Perek Ches Aloche Aleph. The Ram says, Tfilas HaTzibur Nishma Astamit. It's always accepted. The Gemara says, "Ain't tefillas, ain't tefillas, ain't tefillas nishmas elo beis haknesses." The Ram says, "Tefillas atzibur nishmas tamid." Tzibur again. Vafil hoyu b'mchait. It all come later to that. Ein hakadosh baruch hu meis tefillosam shel rabim. God does not reject the tefillah of the many. Lifikoch tzorchodom lishatef atzim atzibur. V'leispalel b'yochit kol zman sheyochel leispalel atzibur. Nishma's stomach is always accepted. The Gemara says, "Ain't tefillas, ain't tefillas, ain't tefillas nishma's elo beis haknesses." The Ram says, "Tefillas atzibur nishma's stomach." Tzibur again. Vafil hoyu b'mchait. It all come later to that. Ein hakadosh baruch hu meis tefillosam shel rabim. God does not reject the tefillah of the many. Lifikoch tzorchodom lishatef atzim atzibur. V'leispalel b'yochit kol zman sheyochel leispalel imatzibur. If he can join the congregation, he should have a congregation. And then he adds, u'le'elom yashkim odom. A man should get up early, v'yariv, and v'yariv le'beis haknesses. A man should come early and leave late the beis haknesses. She'in tfilosei nishmaz b'chol eis, elo be'beis haknesses. Before he said Tfilas HaTzibur Nishmas Tomid, he spoke about Tzibur, Perek Ches Aloche Aleph, and now he speaks about Beis HaKnesses, you see. You see, the Rambam and Beis HaKnesses and Tzibur represent two different aspects. Of course, I told you the ideal Tfilah is Tzibur, but if you come to Tzibur, I come to Shul and Davish. Tfilos HaShol Odom, Shein Tfilos HaNishmas Becholeis, Elo be beis haknesses. What can feel a bit zibo? And that feel is. You mean you're right that the mocker is the mocker. But this is Beis HaKnesses. The question is the role of Tzibur in prayer. Because Tfilas Yochid, one performance. Tfilas Rabim, the Tzibur, and I told you, it's not just many, it's not just an aggregate of people, just 10 people. It's not a Tfilah of 10 people, Tfilas HaTzibur. Tfilas HaTzibur is the Tfilah of a personality, of a new individuality called Tzibur. And basically, it's not Tzibur, the me and which happens to be in one spot geographically, but it's the Tzibur. Which represents the Knesset Yisrael. That I understand. Why is Beis HaKnesses so important? Why was Beis HaKnesses is important? And the role of Beis HaKnesses in Tfilah, according to the Rambam himself, perhaps Rashi also, I cannot talk about Rashi, but the Rambam certainly distinguish between Tfilas HaTzibur and Tfilas HaKnesses. He says both Tfilas HaTzibur Nishmas and Tfilas Beis HaKnesses Nishmas. Why is Beis HaKnesses so important? What can come around? Go ahead. So why? What is wrong if it's what is the beauty of a mokim kavua? Tell me. Kol hakivu mokim litvitzei. כלוק הגמורה, כל הכבי המוקים להתבלוסי, על הכי עברו מי בעזרי, תגלוק דף בו במדבייס. עומר רב חלבי, עומר רב הונה,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
It is the 11th line from the top. Omar Rav Chel, Omar Rav Huna, Kol HaKvei HaMokim L'Tfilosei, Elekei Avrom Be'ezrei. Ukishemeis, when he dies, Emim Le'Yonov, Eichosid, Amin, Gmorim, Yonov, Mitalmidov Shal Avrom Avinu, Avrom Avinu Menolon Dekov HaMokim L'Tfilosei, Dersi Vayashkim Avrom Babeike, Ol HaMokim HaShalom HaChom, the same place. Yeah, he's walking kavua. By the way, I want to tell people, that's why running around from shul to shul makes no sense. It's exactly, either you daven here or you daven over there, I mean. But simply to pay visits to one shul, and then, this is against the Gemara of Kol HaKvei HaMokim L'Tfilosei. The Kol HaKvei HaMokim L'Tfilosei, there are two aloches. First of all, the same shul, and also the same seat. And not walking around during prayer. In general, I mean, to walk around in shul, up and down in shul, is against Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. It's contrary to Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. You come into Beis HaKnesses, either you stand or you sit. But you're not on a train, you see, or you don't drive along a highway in Beis HaKnesses. It's it's bad manners. You see, Beis HaKnesses requires of the individual mannerism, certain manners. And those manners are halachic manners. The way the halacha has prescribed certain manners, which a man should behave and conduct himself in Beis HaKnesses. But particularly for tefillah is either you stand or you sit. Wherever standing is required, you stand. Sitting is permitted, you sit down. Sometimes sitting is required, like for Tachnut or Valetzir, in Ashrei perhaps, yeah, the Rambam says, yeah. All right, this is number one, so you need a seat. You cannot sit in Beis HaKnesses one time in the back, next time in the front, and the third time in the middle. You can't. You choose a seat, it's your seat. This was customary in Lithuania, in White Russia, in Poland, to sell seats. Of course. Why sell seats? Seats used to pass on from generation to generation, from father to children, I mean, from children to grandchildren, I mean. Vayamer Avram. Avram did not walk around, I mean. Will a guest come, if a guest comes to you, you'll take him for a walk, or if he wants to talk, you'll ask him to sit down, and you'll talk to him while sitting. Just a moment. Is HaKvei HaMokim L'Tfilosei means two things. First of all, the shul, the same shul. Secondly, the same place, the same seat, the shul, the same place. Why is it so important? I want to know, why is it so important? Good. Because tefillah means a rendezvous with God. It's a date with God. That's how Chazal understood. A date is always associated with a girl. This time the girl is the Shechina. It's a beautiful girl. It pays to meet her. Believe me. Yeah. Shechina. A rendezvous plane. A rendezvous, a date. A rendezvous, a plain date, a plain appointment. This is true. And it's very strange. Usually, the boy should come first and the girl next. I don't know the etiquette of dating, you understand? So, here is the girl comes first, the Shechina. Just a moment, I'll show you. Again, just a moment. Perhaps, no. No. Melamed, just a minute. Good. Vov Amidalef. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Menayin Shakodesh Baruch Hu Motzui Beis HaKnesses. It's right after the lines about Rino and Tfilo. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Yitzchok said, Menayin, how do you know? Shakodish Bohu, you have the lines? Shakodish Bohu, that the Almighty Motsui is present. Bevisak Nesses. Shenemar Elikim Nitzov Badas Keil. God is always, resides always, is always present in the midst of the community. In basic sense, it means he is present, he waits for the people to come. Of course, it would be much nicer if we came first, and the Shekhinah next. But basically, tefillah means a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a date, it's a rendezvous, it's an appointment. This is tefillah. It's a basic concept of tefillah. Now you'll take, if one maimer is not enough, take Vov Amid Beis. Omar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, Omar Rovin, first line, Omar Rovin Bar Ravade, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok. Kol Rogi Lovin Beis HaKnesses. Whoever, comes to shul regularly, V'leibo Yemechot. One day is gift, he omitted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for him. Mashal be inquires about him. Shnei ma'mi b'chem yirei ad Hashem, shemei akil avdei, hasholach hasheichem v'negalei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inquires. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for him. Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, I want to show a few memorials in order to show it's a central thought. It's not just an opinion of one. It's a central idea, which was accepted by many scholars, by many Chachmei Chazal. V'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo beis HaKnesses, he comes into shul. V'leimotzo bo asoro. What do you mean, motzo bo asoro? Doesn't mean, I want you to understand. You can interpret that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to shul, he waits for the 10 people to assemble, then he comes to shul. But when he comes to shul and finds it, 10 people haven't come yet, haven't arrived yet, so okay. No, but it means B'shosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bola B'Sakness, he comes the first one. He waits for the people to come, and the people don't come, and there is no meaning of B'Sakness, you understand? Miyad okay, Shneu Madu Abosi Ve'inish, Korosi Ve'ine. So what do you see, what do you arrive from all those passages, from all those quotations? That, first of all, what do you arrive? What do you arrive? What ideas do you arrive from those passages? Yes. First of all, there is Ashroes Hashchina Beis HaKnesses. What is Beis HaKnesses? What is the reason that we ascribe sanctity and holiness to the Beis HaKnesses? Because there is Ashroes Hashchina, there is presence of God. Presence of God Beis HaKnesses. It means that Beis HaKnesses is like what? Like the Midrash. What? Asher yomer ayim bar adeshem yoroh, adeshem yireh. God is present in Beis HaKnesses. That's why both Knessias bebovel are considered mikdoshim me'at. Temples or sanctuaries in miniature. It means there is Ashroes Hashchina. Number one, just a moment, Ashroes Hashchina. Number one. Number two, what is the second idea? No, but you say, this one idea, that Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses, actually, what is Beis HaKnesses? Take Beis HaKnesses, you substitute for Knesses Beis Hashem. Yashroya Sashti. What else? No. Rabbeinu Shlom can also, is not bored to be alone. Rabbeinu Shlom is always alone. Yeshiv v'sei Sarelian v'tzal Shaddai Yisleina. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the loneliest being. Because he's alone, there's no one else like him. Kadosh Baruch Hu can be alone, and actually his abode is aloneness. And loneliness is his residence. Yeshiv v'sei Sarelian v'tzal Shaddai Yisleina. Keil mistater v'shafri chavya. God who hides in the mystery of the world. Yeah. But however, when he comes to Beis HaKnesses, he doesn't want to be alone. He's bored to be alone. He wants some people to join him. And what does it mean? He has an appointment with them. rendezvous. And when he comes and the people don't show up, so his wrath is aroused. This is it, of course. So if a Jew goes to shul, actually he doesn't go to shul. He goes to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to keep a date with the Shkina. This concept that there is, that a man has a date with the Shkina, is basic in Halacha. It applies not only to Tefillah, but to many, to Torah as well. But this is kvias. And kvias, then what does it mean? It means like that, a man should have a place for davening. Not if Kadosh Baruch Hu is present here, I mean, he's waiting for you here. Then you went, I mean, this morning we got a show. You broke the date. You see, Malchus Deshmaikim Malchus Dare. Kadosh Baruch Hu deals with man in the same manner that he deals with people. That's it. Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, it is transcendent and beyond all those concepts, it's ubiquitous, Melech HaLoretz Kvedei, I mean, whatever, in his dealings with man, he accepted the human etiquette. He's dealing with us in our terms, not in his terms, because in his terms it would be impossible to deal with Kadosh Baruch Hu. We couldn't speak to him, we couldn't address ourselves to him, I mean, he's infinite and he's... unapproachable, he's ineffable, I mean, it's the whole performance would be just nonsense. But he deals with us and in our terms, in our categories. This is, and what else here is important? If it's a date, is something else important. Locus, place, what? Place, what else?
Time.
Not a dime. Yesterday 6 o'clock in the morning, today 7 o'clock, and tomorrow, I mean, 8 o'clock. You have his fixed time and a fixed place. Now, this number one. So why is Pesach Knesset so relevant to Tefillah? Now let us have it, because Tefillah is confrontation, and the place of confrontation is actually at Pesach Knesset. It means the appointment between HaKadosh Baruch Hu man, this date, this rendezvous, is Pesach Knesset. All right, this is number one. There's another reason to find. What else? What else? There's another reason for this. How do you know that? It's correct what you say, but how do you know that? You have to prove it. You have to prove it. Correct. Correct, it's correct. You have to prove it. Actually, I mean, I don't know how many of you know Tefillah Shleime. The dedication, Tefillah Shleime, delivered. Hanukkah Sabbath. It's most beautiful philosophy of prayer that was ever written. What did Shleime ask? What did Shleime answer? Shleime asked a question. Aomnom Yeshiv Elikim Babayis Hazeh? When he completed the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, Shleime, it's magnificent building. All the people, Knesset Yisrael was assembled in Yerushalayim. It was on Sukkot, the Chok, by Yosu, just ready after this. Shleime had to deliver his dedication, prayer, address, call it whatever you want. So Shleime asked a question, Aromnom Yeshiv Elikim Babayis Hazeh? Is it true that God will reside in that house, in that small house? No matter how magnificent it is, the infinite heavens, infinity itself cannot contain the The Af Habayis Hazeh encircled this little hole. What did he answer? What did Shlaim answer? Yeah, but he gave an answer. What did he answer? כי האומנם יש ולקים על האורץ הנה השמיים ושמי השמיים לא יחלקלוכו אף כי הבייס הזה השבוניסי what question number one חזל say also I mean that Meishi asked this question ושאשרום עלי הקודש ברוך הוא למיישה ונגה told Meishi ועושו לי מיגלוש ושחנת בזה and they should build a sanctuary and I'll reside this way never Meishi we got frightened אומר הנה השמיים ושמי השמיים לא יחלקלוכו אף כי הבייס הזה, in infinity, he wants to what to be pressed in, squeezed in into a mission of cubits, of 10 or 20 cubits. אמר לי, הקודש ברוך הוא, דמד ראשון סוף. לי כשם שעתו סובר, אני סובר. I have a different opinion, יש. אמס, הנה השמיים ושמי השמיים לא יחלקלו, לא יחלקלו לי. The whole universe cannot contain me. I am immanent in the universe and transcended to the universe. I am beyond and above any measurements. I am in infinity. However, I will kishosh ani reitze, but the times when I want, ani yire du mitzamtze im eshkenosi. I descend and I contract. It's an act of contraction. And when I shake and I reside, Amo Alamo and the Kapelas. That's what the Midrash answers. But what did Shlaim answer? There was something. What did Shlaim answer? What did Shlaim answer? Why is a Bisamiglos necessary? The same question is why is a Shul necessary? Melech Oretz Kvede, his glory fills out every corner in the universe. There is not a corner in the universe, behind the flying, beyond the flying nebulae, where HaKadosh Baruch is not present. He's present in the universe, beyond the universe, above the universe. So why is Shul? I mean, he's every place, in the field, in the forest, in my house, in my backyard. The same question which Shlaim asked, but he answered. What are you saying? Exactly. The answer is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the house, the home, the individual needs the Beis HaMikdash. We need the home. Yes. Correct? This is the answer. Why? For what purpose? Correct. This is the answer. Actually, the Beis HaMikdash is not built as a home, as a shelter for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Beis HaMikdash was built, and so the Beis HaKnesses is built, as a home and a shelter, as a residence for man. Who wants to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Correct. Man is homeless, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Man is homeless, he needs a home. He needs a roof over his head. But not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is correct, this is the answer. Yeah, but how? So what does the Beis HaMikdash accomplish? I mean, you mean basically it takes man out of his routine, of his environment. Man's environment, this is true, man's environment is basically a profane environment and not encouraging human being, I mean, not inspiring him and it's not the environment in which particular mother or man lives. It's not the one which can inspire man to pray and to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to rise above his petty needs, above his daily cares and concerns. I mean, men must be taken out of his usual environment and placed somewhere else, where he should be inspired by the surroundings, by the people, I mean, with whom he associates. He should simply. The Mekim Tfilah should not be the same as the Mekim Melachbe. Not where in Shap, you cannot daven in Shap. You have to come to a special place. This is correct. It's a place of inspiration. Correct. This is correct. Man, it is It's correct to, when we come into the synagogue, in the Pesach Knesset, I mean, if we are sensitive, we somehow we are impressed, and we are also inspired. And there is a certain, we have an experience of being cleansed and purged and redeemed of the everyday cares and concerns. This is correct. I mean, usually the man is influenced by the environment, no doubt about it. This is correct. But there is something else what Shleime said. Shleime said something else. What does Shleime develop the idea? That all prayers offered all over the world, all over the world, all over the land, all over the world, even the diaspora, even when thy people will be conquered and taken prisoner and carried away, exiled into a far distant land. And they'll pray. The prayer should be via that house, via Eretz Yisrael. If you are in Eretz Yisrael, it's via Jerusalem. And if you pray in Jerusalem via that house, somehow the prayer should rise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from one focal point, from one focus. Prayers, I mean, we imagine prayers rising to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They fly into heaven. They rise like the pillar of Kteres. Very interesting. What did the Pasuk say? Mazretzki. You know Psuki. Tikin tfilosi Kteres lefanecha. Masas kapai min chasor. Let my tefillah be considered as the burning of incense before me. Masas kapai, the lifting of my hand. Like the meal of the mircha, the atomic shall be nearby, mircha sor. Why is ticking philosophic teres like an echo? Why is like teres? Because teres was, you know, they had a certain ingredient of this in the teres, which they called malarosha. The smoke of the teres used to rise vertically, like a column, toward heaven. The Ruach has never dispersed. It's never, I mean, the Amud Roshan, the column, I mean, the pillar of smoke. And the Medrash tells us the people who were far from Jerusalem used to see from afar the pillar of smoke rising over the Mizbeach. This was the first signal which they saw. The first signal was the pillar. So a tefillah also rises to heaven. Tikkun philosophy rises to heaven. So all the tefillah should rise to heaven, not from an infinite number of places, but from one place. All tefillahs travel. It's a very strange picture which they made. A tefillah, when I daven, the tefillah is an entity. Tefillah is something living. This also applicable. Tefillah is not just the words. The words become an organism, an entity, a mysterious entity, an invisible entity. There are some tefillahs, beautiful tefillahs, and there are ugly tefillahs. But the Kabbalah speak about ugly tefillahs and beautiful tefillahs, very attractive, fascinating. And they rise to heaven. But the tefillahs don't rise immediately. They travel. Where do they travel? To Eretz Yisrael. Yes. Very strange. And then to Jerusalem. And then to the place where the Kodesh Kodashim is. And from that place, they rise to heaven. That's what Shlok. Vishomato al tchinas avdecho ve'amcho Yisrael asher yispalu al amokim azer min al yispalu al amokim. They'll direct their prayers. They'll send their prayers. They'll dispatch their prayers to that place. Ve'ato tishma el mekem shiftecho el ha-shamay. You reside in beyond the cosmos, beyond the universe, beyond finitude. But the tefillah will rise. Binogiv amcho Yisrael lifneiev. Ve'ato tishma vishan melecho el ha-bayis hazeh. Again. Direct the prayers. Rot ki yeh boretz. וגם על הנוכרי השלם עם חוי ישראל אבור. אין את תפילה. I didn't find a stranger who is not a Jew. The תפילה should travel to the base of Midrash, to Eretz Israel, and rise to Eretz Israel to heaven. What is the idea of it? What is the idea? It's a very strange imagery which Shlomo has introduced. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ubiquitous. He is omnipresent. Melech al Oretz Kvede. His glory fills up, fills out the earth. I mean, the whole universe. Why have the tefillah travels there at this area? Travel, comfort ruach, and the wings of the wind. Travel, and then like little doves on the rise above to heaven. Why is it? It means individual prayer is not accepted. Individual prayer is not accepted. It's or it's hard. It's not always accepted. Tefillah Sarav Nishmas Tomit, Tefillah Sajochim, but it's Tefillah of the many is never rejected. So there aren't. You see, it's again the concept of Knesset Yisrael. There aren't 14 million Jews, and if all Jews were davening, were praying, unfortunately not all Jews pray now. But let us say, in the ideal state, I still remember times at which, I mean, at least 75% or 80% of the people, I mean, were praying. I mean, not only I mean, there are many people in this audience who still remember such times. But now, I mean, the situation has changed. But anyway, we cannot speak now 14 million people, 14 million prayers, 14 million prayers rising to heaven. No, this is not so. 14 million people are form of one individuality, one invisible personality. And this personality is called what? Knesset Yisrael. There is only one prayer which comes. You ask me, what kind of a prayer is it? Who is the prayerful person? Who is the prayerful individual? Knesset Yisrael. As an individuality. Knesset Yisrael. What is my tefillah? My tefillah is a small particle. A small integral part of the great tefillah, Knesset Yisrael. Shmei HaTefillah Amcho Yisrael. That's what... And that's what Shlomo answered. We need a center. And actually, Chazal say that actually, why did the Torah order that three times a year, on Passover, on Shavuos, on Sukkot, all people must make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and assemble in Beis Hamikdash. Everybody must enter. Why? What for? What for? Drag them from their distant places, the farmer from his field in the Galilee, and the shepherd, I mean, from his flocks in the Negev, and so forth and so on. Why? The Torah was very, very concerned, I mean, with human efforts. Chazal say, "In tumas am horetz beregel." Am horetz is not. There is not tumah in am horetz beregel. Shne ema vayesfu elof kol Yisrael chaverim. In order simply to forge the unity of the Knesset Yisrael. People live in the Galil. They have never seen the people from Judea. Never seen the life. Now you fly, you commute between New York and Eretz Yisrael, but it was quite difficult, I mean, in olden times, in antiquity, to commute even between the Golan Heights, I mean, upper Galilee and Jerusalem. It was quite a journey, quite a trip, you understand. People come, they don't know each other. I mean, and they fall apart. Aliyah Regel, and people from the south, and from the east, and from the north came. They got acquainted, I mean, and they became one people. Ki yishechot chaverim. I mean, all of our friends, all of our associates. The unity of Knesset Yisrael was emphasized time and again. Time, time again. This is the reason why Jeroboam put up the two golden calves. Why did Jeroboam put up the two golden calves? He said, the people, my people from Shomron, will make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem and they'll join Judea. You understand? And the split which brought about actually the destruction of Jewish, of Judaic independence. I mean, finally this split will be eliminated, and then will be a united people. Of course, he'll lose the throne, of course. So that's why he put up two calves, one calf in Bethel, the other one in Dan, and he told him, if you want to travel, I mean, you can travel every time you want, I mean, if you make a pilgrimage, go. Because he was afraid. Yerushalayim, the people. That's why, if you read a psalm, which later Golem, the pilgrims used to sing, when they entered Yerushalayim, Eim they say, Aglenya b'Yerushalayich Yerushalayim, no? Yish Chubro lo Yardav. The city which accommodates everybody and unites everybody. Sheshomolu Shifteko. Ladies by the Shem. And this is exactly why Entfile is very important. It shouldn't be my prayer. My prayer should join and merge with the great prayer of the Knesset Israel. That's why Beisa Knesset, of course, is Beisa Midrash. Beisa Knesset means I show what do I manifest when I come to Beisa Knesset? If I daven at my home, I mean, it's my prayer. If I daven at my parlor, it's my prayer. I mean, I'm not aware of anybody else. I don't know that somebody else is in need. And perhaps he needs help and support. I dismiss, I mean, my next door neighbor. I'm just involved with my needs, and I'm thinking only of HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting my prayer. I mean, I don't care. I'm not concerned with us. In Beis HaKnesses, I joined the Knesset Israel. It's the prayer of the Knesset Israel. This is the second reason. Because the Knesset is a mokim kavua for the appointment. Then the Knesset, the character of the collective prayer, or the prayer of the Knesset Israel, is emphasized by the Tfilah of the Knesset. Beneath Hasfuris, start learning called Xeres Arzorius. Now, there is something else. Now, let us take a Gemara. This would actually confirm basically what we just said. The role of Beis HaKnesset. Take a Gemara. Daf Hei Yomit Beis. A very strange Gemara. Three lines from the bottom. Tanya Abin Yomin said many things about Tfilah. We hardly find him in connection with other problems. But Tfilah, apparently, he understood very well Tfilah and his philosophy of Tfilah, etc. Shnayim Shenichnisu Leispala. Two men came in to daven. Where Nichnisu in Beis HaKnesset, in Teshuva. Vikidim Echot Mem Leispala. One can recite Ivre fast, he's now. He's literate, and the Chaveira is slow, I don't know. Vilehimtin, and he walked out, and he left his friend alone in shul. He should be careful about it. Veyotzo, and he left him alone in shul. He davened, he concluded his daven, his prayers, he recited, concluded his prayers. The other one was still busy reciting his prayers. He left him. Teafim leit filosei bifanov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the tefillah and tears it apart in his presence. I mean, just... His tefillah bounces, you see. It's rejected. Like a ball. This means it. Like a ball. It bounces like a ball. Shenema teireis nafshei bi'apei. It's a very strange pasuk in Iyev. Iyev Yitches. Let us see how Chazal have derived it. Here. You see, when you study Agoda, you have to be careful with the psukim. Chiev Yudches. Bilat Ashuch, he said. He addressed himself to Yev. Teref Nafshe Beape. One who tears himself up. Beape, because of anger. Because of anger. He's ready to commit suicide. He tears himself completely up. It means he loses his sanity completely. Complete sanity. His reasonableness. Alemancho, you mean, for thy sake, Teozi Veretz, should the world be abandoned completely? The Yetak Tzum im Kemei, and the Creator, the Maker, should move out of our world? What does it mean? What does it mean? I mean, if you know the conversation, the dialogue, what which Eve carried on with Bilat Ashuchi, or with Eliphaz HaTimoni, or what was the name? Sefer HaNamosi, the conversation. What was it? What did Eve say? Eve said, because he what? He was disaster struck him. So what does it show? That there was no justice in the world. There was no fairness. God has abandoned the world. God is not concerned with the destiny of the world. I mean, the wicked person is triumphant if he is strong. The just person, if he is weak, I mean, is persecuted and so forth. Correct? Destroyed. So Bilat Ashuchi tells him, Teref nafshei beape, because of thy anger, of thy wrath, you want to destroy yourself. It means you went berserk. You are insane. Mi alemancho? Let us say you don't understand your destiny. All right, we don't understand. You have problems. You have questions. Do you think that the question which one individual has, and the destiny which is of a yochid, I mean, which cannot be understood. I mean, we don't understand why you lost your children and your wealth, or why you are a leper now, or why you are stricken with a disease. It means because of one individual whose destiny is an enigma, is a puzzle to us. You mean, should the land, the earth be abandoned? Should we conclude that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, does not supervise and does not rule and does not determine the destiny of mankind? The Yetak Tzum im Kemei, you want to remove the Rak. Rak means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his place, in spite of the fact that you suffered so much. And you don't understand, I mean, let's assume that we don't understand. You were a perfect man and you suffered for no reason. But there is absolutely, it's absurd to say that because of that experience, we should simply conclude that there is no Ashgoche, I mean, there is no providence, no supervision in this world. This is a plain shot of what? Of what is it? Of the Pesach. Now what does Gemara say? Take a look. Shnayim shenichnasu liyisparel. Two people went in to daven. Gekodam echod mem liyispar rimtes chaverim, particularly in Talmudic times, the shul were outside of town. It was dangerous to walk, I mean, it's in New York now, on the west side, it is the same. Why not? Even here, I mean, they beat up our boys, I mean, those Simchas Torah night. Corner, Corey Road and Commonwealth Avenue. Yeah, I mean, not black hooligans, but white hooligans. Jewish boys, I mean, it's glory, I mean, it reflects glory upon the Jewish people. They beat them up. All right. And you walked out, you didn't join him, you didn't wait for him to finish the daven in order to walk with him home. His HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not accept the tefillah, they don't accept the tefillah. He considers the tefillah as abominable, he tears it up in his face. Shenema. Teref nafshe be'ape, alemancho teoze veretz. What's got to do with this? Delay dal shigirim l'shchino, she testalak me'Yisroel. Shnema v'yetak tzur memkeim, of course tzur refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'in tzur Baruch Hu, shnema tzur yilot choteshi. How does the Gemara explain it? Because by understanding what the Gemara, the link between the Gemara's saying, and the Pesuk will understand the role of Beis HaKnesses as well. What is the idea? What was the reason for EF's harangue, so to say, and his complete indictment, Kavi Yochel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Complete indictment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, you know, whoever studied EF knows what he said. What was lying at the root of EF's complaint? He carried the complaint. And it, like a prosecutor, I mean, he wanted to indict the order, I mean, prevailing in this world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely indifferent, I mean, to human woe and to human troubles and to human despair, and there is no justice in this world, and there is no fairness, I mean, it's chaos, prevails anarchy and chaos. What was it? Of course he suffered a great deal. Of course, but Selfishness. He was so much involved with himself, to such a degree. After all, he was a great person here. But he was so much involved with himself, to such a degree, that he could not realize that he is just one individual. No matter how prominent he was, no matter how just he was, and how fine he was, I mean, after all, he praised himself, I mean, quite a lot, he said, but it's just one individual, just one grain of sand. And you cannot condemn the world, the order of the world, and simply say that because EF's Job suffered, it means there is no Ashgoche, and there is no justice, and there is no fairness, and there is no grace. There is just brutality in this world shows is indicative of what? Of selfishness. As a matter of fact, if you'll take a look the way that Pasuk depicts EF's life, take a look. Interesting how Chazal. Who studied EF? Shows is indicative of what? Of selfishness. As a matter of fact, if you'll take a look the way the Pasuk depicts EF's life, take a look. Interesting how Chazal. Who studied EF? Vayiki kifu yemei ha-mishneh, and it is, it's a very funny way of life, I mean, the program was very funny. What did they do, these children? What did they do, these children? Baruch Ivanov and his children went, was a mishneh, they used to make a feast. They see Shem, he had seven, seven sons, so it was a full a week, and then it was the next cycle, the second cycle, you see. Vayiki kifu yemei ha-mishneh, when the yemei ha-mishneh 7 days were concluded, means every Saturday, every Shabbos, so the seventh day of feasting. Vayishlach hi vaykachem, the Yif called him. Vayishkim ba-beker, ve'elo eiles mispakulam, he used to sacrifice, offer seven eiles, and the seven eiles, kom ariye v'ulechotoy bonay u'becho lekim v'lvoro. And the post says, kocho yase iyef kol ha-yomim. Why does the Pasuk emphasize that? Why does the Pasuk tell us the ceremonial that every Saturday after the Yemei HaMishneh were concluded, he used to offer seven eiles? Perhaps one of his children sinned, they had an ugly thought or something, they rebelled, and then they started feasting again. I mean, so it shows that he was only concerned with himself. He's himself with his family. He had no, absolutely no understanding for the people, I mean, for the troubles and the suffering of others. He was just concerned with his people. It is a certain isolationism which prevailed. Completely, I want to be, you know, there are many tzaddikim like Kiev. You call it a tzaddik in Pels, of course. He feels warm, even though other people shiver because of the frost. Yeah. You see, and he had no concern for his people. Absolute no concern for his people. If he was a Jew, you don't know whether a Jew, he was a Jew. Chazal are inclined to say that he was a Jew here. Yeah. And Chazal asked, when was he? And interesting is how Chazal and Boy Basra asked, when did he leave? Very strange. The Pasuk doesn't say when he leave. You know why the Pasuk doesn't say when he lived? Because Job is a fellow which who could be found in every generation, at every time, for age. It's a very typical representative of human society. The perfect tzaddik who is perfect but does not care about others. And he's a judge who will sit in judgment, very strict judge will sit in judgment if someone else should sin or should do something which is not warranted, but he is not, he doesn't try to change or to reform people or to educate people or simply to worry about the destiny of the class. Interesting is that at the end of Job, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him back what he had, on the contrary, gave him back twice as much, as many as much, so the Pasuk says, Vadishem Shof Shvus Yiv, and God returned to Yiv whatever he lost, compensate him, be spalalei when he prayed, when he prayed for his friends. It was the first time Eve said a prayer for someone else. Eve made a mishiberach for someone else. I mean, someone else is sick, all right. Your son is sick. Eve offered hundreds of korbanos. But someone else, the next door neighbor, the poor neighbor is sick. He said, come to shul, say a mishiberach. Babu Shinodar is matone. Matone means nothing. No, he never said it. He never did it. He was not interested. He was indifferent to the destiny of others. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ato k'chu shiva porim v'shivu eiles, v'lechu al avdi yev, v'alisem eilo ba'atchem, v'yev avdi yispal aleichem. This is the test. Will it be capable now after he went through, the disaster and the experience, the death of his sons and destruction of his family. And I would like to know, did he shed off his selfishness, or is he still as selfish and egocentric as he was before? So Vadishem Shuaz Shov Shusiev Bispali Badre. And that's what the Gemara says. Teref Nafshi be happy, that's what Bilda Shura says. Because you judge the world just by your experiences. You cannot judge the world by your experiences, It doesn't mean that you don't understand your destiny, what happened to your experiences, that the whole order in this world is irrational. Because of this, should the earth be abandoned? And you should arrive at conclusions, less din, rahman, islam, less dayan. There is no justice and no mercy in this world. The yet aktsum and kemi, we should make a Kodesh Baruch Hu move from the world. This exactly. Shnaim shenichnasu leispalel, and he davened, and apparently he was in need, and he prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the yotz v'kodam echad leispalel, he finished his davening before, v'lehim tines chavere, did not wait, so it means that not concern. After all, he asked for protection and shelter, and so forth, all right? Give thought, why don't you think that your next, stands next to you who will need shelter and protection when he will walk home alone. Why don't you join him? So apparently you're not concerned with him. This is Eve, this is Job. He's still filled with philosophy. What does it show? What does it show?
It means that Beishak is...
What is Beishak is? To what is Beishak is dedicated?
To Tefillah and to something else. To three things a bit is dedicated. Three things. Nothing else should be done in Beis HaKnesses. Nothing else. Beis HaKnesses is dead. Of course.
Stop it. Stop
it. If a Beis HaKnesses does not seem to be party, you chop. Is the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses is there, study, is a matter of Beis HaKnesses. Tfile, v'imechashvim be'ishum cheshbenes, chutz cheshbenes shal mitzvah shal tzedakah. As a matter of fact, you know very well that in all, during the Middle Ages, in Talmudic time, next to the Beis HaKnesses was the shal for the tzedakah. This is the Kiddush Friday night. Why do you say Kiddush in Beis HaKnesses Friday night? You say Kiddush before a meal. It's a remnant of olden times. Och, I mean strangers, I mean itinerant beggars. It was not the governor. Yes, they had no hotel, they had no inns. It's important. Because we don't know, we don't realize. Tzedakah is to tefillah. The mitzvah is to give tzedakah before tefillah. Tzedek lefanav yahalech, you know that. It's one of the main, one of the three main aspects. This is the third main. Beis HaKnesses is amokim kavua. Beis HaKnesses simply is the place where all the tefillahs of individuals merge into one tefillah of the Knesset Yisrael. Beis HaKnesses is the place where a person is called upon and also inspired to engage in deeds of charity. And if one doubles this palate and displays unconcern, complete indifference to his neighbor, so the tefillah projects. This is basically interesting. Is din himtin maschore, and if he waited for him, and he was busy, don't mean he waited, and he was busy, and I sacrificed an appointment I had very important to me. And din himtin maschore, I want you to understand, Chazal is open. I'm not supposed to wait. I'll finish. I do wait for someone else to finish. Because I'm constantly. Or this itself, perseverance, is deserving of faith. Where do you have this case? Because I love so much. The virtue of waiting patiently. Miriam, the Mishnah in Satan. In Satan, it's very strange. When Miriam was stricken with leprosy, she was isolated from the community like a leper. The only Nostra there is our people, the whole people. The Knesset Yisrael did not move Mechatzeres the Osif Miriam until Miriam recovered from leprosy. So she could join the camp. So Chazal say, why should a people of 600,000 Jews wait for a woman who took? Why was it necessary? Because this little girl once waited also for something. And nature was put in the river, abandoned. She had patience to wait.
Because if she hadn't waited, what would have happened? If Miriam hadn't waited, what would have happened? Of course, Meisha would have been, wouldn't have been identified as a Jew, you understand? Yecheved wouldn't have actually brought him up, nursed him, and brought him up. Meisha would have been raised as a complete Egyptian. Would have never gone out to see what his brother did, and the whole Gula, who knows, I mean, would have... Patience, perseverance, and the ability to wait. Not to despair. Basically, actually, it is a Dane saying, Dane is right, Ibsen, famous player, who said that the most precious virtue of the Jewish people, he was a goy, is its ability to wait. We've been waiting for Mashiach 1900 years. We are still waiting, and every day you say, Harpishi is Mamea, Bechol, and nevertheless, Achakrem Chalishu Tavim. This is actually typical of the Knesset Yisrael. And I'm not here, I'm very serious. The ability to wait and not to despair. The ability to wait and not to give up. And the ability, I mean, simply to hope, to have faith that the future will be different, will change. And not to abandon. That's exactly what keeps us alive. I'll tell you, friend. It was a very difficult task, still difficult. It was 500 times as difficult 27 years ago, 28 years ago, when I founded the school. I'm not speaking of myself, or my experiences. I cannot speak about the experiences of other people. Because it was very difficult to start the school. There was no money at all. You have a budget of $25 a week, and you have no money to cut the media budget. You understand? But there is, we have been waiting. Waiting. She waited just a couple of hours. I don't know how long she waited. She waited perhaps a couple of days. In Chumash, you don't know. But here at Baspare, do you know how it looked? It might have taken a week. It would have died in a little box. Most probably took... There's no patience. People centuries. Who displayed some people cannot wait. People come in, is there? I come to my am I the ninth or the tenth? She said, at the time. If he's the tenth, he will come over. But if he's the ninth, why should he wait? And sometimes waiting, human experiences, some individuals reach a certain mood which resembles the one up. What you have need faith. And to wait for our condition. Many times we don't understand things, but we have the patience to wait, to study, against which follow on a certain experience which was appeared to be irrational. You understand me? Understand the rational.
also a Sahib. Years later.
Sometimes centuries later, perhaps millennia later, you look backward. Backwards, in retrospect, you understand that which strength of who gave it to us? Who was at height of, I would say, to use the term by Kierkegaard, because the night the prince of waking, how do you know? First we can tell you. First, is one of the great attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ability to wait patiently. What is Erech Haim? What's Erech Haim? Patience. Haim is a long faith. You passively wait. Interesting is, that is by Meir Meshe Vayishtachu, Kodesh Baruch Hu proclaimed the 13 Midas HaRachmim, the 13 principles of mercy, this which contain what mystery, what contain what Sod HaTshuva. This contain, I mean, it's in Midas HaRachmim, Nesom Vivat, Meir Meshe. The Gemara ask, which midah is the culmination of the concept of the hymns of himself? It means here the Pseras HaTshuva, the message of Tshuva, the message of mercy, reached its climax. What midah actually, where, in what midah do all 13 midahs culminate? Which midah is the pinnacle of all midahs? So Chazal say, Erech HaPayim. Not Rav Chesed Ve'emes, Hashem L'Shem, Tilrachu, V'chanu, Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed Ve'emes, is the height, the apex of the message of Tshuva is Erech HaPayim. Uvai Erech HaPayim. Not Rav Chesed Ve'emes, but Erech HaPayim. Uvai Erech HaPayim. Why is Erech HaPayim preferred to Rav Chesed Ve'emes? You understand my question? I would say, one man domer thinks Rav Chesed Ve'emes, but one man domer is Erech HaPayim. What does Rav Chesed Ve'emes convey to us? What message? What does Rav Chesed Ve'emes convey to us? God is full of grace and truth. It means he accepts the sinner, the possibility of tshuva. For this is modern jurisprudence. Criminal law does not accept a sinner. If you kill a person, and even after, let us assume that the judge or the jury is convinced that the person is actually repenting his deed, and he wants to amend his ways, so they let him go? Oh no. They might give him mitigative circumstances will give him a milder sentence, not a severe sentence. But they won't let him go. This is all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Chesed Ve'emes, so simply, if you say Chotosi and you say it sincerely, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu washes off the sin and completely, I mean, and is forgiven. Yeah, this is great, of course. But sometimes the man is not fast enough. I commit a crime, I commit a sin, and I don't feel guilty. So in order that the tshuva, the message of tshuva be implemented, HaKadosh Baruch Hu must what? Must have patience to wait for the Roshe to come back to him. To wait! Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu can wait 70 years. V'ad yemei fetech hakelei. In Yoshua Miyatakable, Rav Chesed could not be implemented. It's a beautiful middle, but it cannot be implemented unless, in addition to Rav Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu displays another attribute. That the patience, infinite HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is infinite, limitless, boundless patience and perseverance. But you may say, Kelev Shonim Ben Yochakim Esmer, Lashmur Abalolo. And then, Toshe Vene Shadako Adiktu Kashon Nefesh. All right, this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it means that waiting, the ability to wait. And also, I mean, and this also is important to us. When we see sometimes a friend of ours, an acquaintance of ours, does not behave properly. We are all human. We are all sinful. We make mistakes. Sometimes you make a mistake in public. And of course, and you are embarrassed because your friend, don't condemn him immediately. Don't condemn him. Act like a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Erech Apayim. Wait. He himself will realize that he acted in an ugly way. He'll come to you and he'll ask for pardon. And if he didn't ask the next morning, wait another day. And if he didn't ask the same week, wait another week. Why on a week? You may wait years. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu can wait, but you may say, HaKadosh, can a human being? Yehadus, the ethics of waiting plays a very important role. Don't be quick in judgment. Don't condemn a person immediately. Who else could wait? Huh? Avron, of course, Avron. Avron was the prince of waiting. Avron waited. Waited for Yitzhak 100 years. It's enough. Waited. Of course. Who else waited? Who else could wait? Rav Shomer is Adama. What means Shomer? Shomer means waiting. Interesting that in Hebrew the word shomer means, has again a double connotation. Shomer means in Hebrew waiting and guarding, protecting. Why? What is the connection between these? Shomer nafshi, of course. Lishna, hit nisha reyu, keli mikesev lishna. Not to wait, but simply to guard, to protect. What is semantically the link between Shomer waiting in Hebrew and Shomer protecting? Because a guard must have patience. You cannot be a guard unless you have patience. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Shomer Yisrael, the guardian of the Jews, he must also wait for a Jew. So forth on, and this is the Knesset system, it's very unique. It's unique of the Knesset Israel. No other nation can do that as much. Vimhim Tilei Maschore, interesting as Chazal say. Vimhim Tilei, how long did he wait for him? He finished in Esrei, I mean, 5 minutes to seven, let us say. And how long can the other fellow daven? I just read a nice anecdote in the Hebrew press in Eretz Yisrael. One called his friend. So his wife told him on the phone, he's busy now, he cannot answer the phone. Wait for him. So he waited. Then, but a few minutes later, he came over and took the receiver and answered the call. She said, you were davening. So how do you know? So if you were eating, it would have taken more time. So how long could he wait for him? How long could he wait for him? Well, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. How long does a Jew take? How long does it take to finish an Ezra? 10, 15 minutes. Just he waited 10 minutes for him. Like that, but he was looking at the watch, was he? But, alright, he was patient. Patient, didn't he? He's maschore, so what does it mean? So what kind of reward you should give him? A medal or what? Congressional medal of honor? No. So the Gemara, take a look at the Gemara, sir. Omer Rav Yisrael says, Zeichel Brochis Alolo. He's deserving of all those blessings. What kind of blessings? you ikshafto le mitzvesoi, if you hearken to my commandments, v'yikanor shlemecho, your peace would be like the river, v'yitkoscho, your justice kegale ayom, like the waves of the sea, v'yikecheil zaracho, your children would be like the sand, v'yitzoi memecho, and your descendants like the grains. Interesting. Reward just for 10 or 15 minutes waiting. Why did Chazal choose that pasuk? Chazal, I want to convey that to wait for a person, to have concern for another person, it means wait that he was concerned. He cared for him. To care just for another person for 5 minutes, not sacrificing anything. He didn't sacrifice anything. He didn't give up anything. Of course he wanted to go home. And it wasn't right. So he waited 5 minutes for him until he finished. So just 5 minutes thought, thinking of another person. Just to display concern. Almost insignificant concern. Is deserving of the greatest blessings. Because this is the idea of Pesach Nesses. Together with other people. Lo ikshafto le mitzvesoi. V'yike nor shlemecho. Nor shlemecho. Why is sholem, peace, like a river? But why is it? Because the river, you see, the river, when it rises during the spring thaw, above its bed, so it inundates them. The river, you take a look at the water of the river flowing in its bed, you may think the river is isolated from its environment. This is not always so. At certain times, when the water begins to rise, so it will inundate the environment. It will fertilize arid soil. It will take arid land and convert it into fertile soil. Means the river is not, it's like chesed. It's very interesting that the Chachmei Kabbalah say as chesed, the imagery of chesed is the river or the sea. The sea, the tide inundating the environs, and the river during springtime, during the spring thaw, when it rises above the bed, and inundate the environs and the says it's koshoki gali ayom. What did he show? He showed just for 5 minutes that he is concerned not only with himself, but with somebody else. That's why the broches which will be given to him, the rising river, which knows no limits, no barriers, inundates the environs. Yisgadol v'yisgadol shmei rabot.